The NFL season is finally here, so make sure you're ready with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. It gives you the most live NFL games all in one place, exactly what you need to make your Sundays more magical. Sign up today at youtube.com/Sunday Ticket. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Kansas City!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show fantasy football team will be called
Live from Kansas City.
Sprinkle a little Ursay or layers of Eberflus. Paul Rudd, who wins?
Layers of Eberflus.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. Fantastic. Look at that. Layers of Eberflus is our team name.
Earlier on the show, actor Rob Riggle. Coming up, Chiefs chairman and CEO Clark Hunt. Emmy award-winning actor Eric Stonestreet. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Can confirm it is me, and the team is all hanging out here on the Rich Eisen Show kickoff special. Live from Kansas City at the Total Wireless Studio. We're having a good time right here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I've got my final power rankings to reveal before the NFL kickoff on Thursday night on NBC, which you can obviously watch here on the Roku portal. We're live on the Roku Sports Channel right now. Eric Stonestreet making his way to our studio. And again, he says he's got a surprise. We're all thinking it is barbecue, but we don't know until he shows up. We just said goodbye to Rob Riggle, but thrilled and honored to have kicking off hour number two right here is the chairman and CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs, the two-time defending world champion Kansas City Chiefs. Clark Hunt is here on the program. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Great. Thank you. So glad to be on with you today.
And I made sure to properly term your team the two-time defending world champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you used to that yet?
I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, pretty cool.
For sure, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
You brought a gift, which I greatly appreciate. I'm holding it up right now for our Roku Sports Channel audience right here. It is a back-to-back Kansas City
Chiefs Kingdom flag.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we have a little tradition here in Kansas City where we sell those flags, typically on the Friday before the season opener, but more recently on what we call Red Wednesday, since we've been playing the the season opener on Thursday.
Yes.
And we raise money for the Ronald McDonald House.
That's awesome.
Through the sale of those flags. And over the last 11 years, we've raised $5 million to support such a great charity that does such important work.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm sure you enjoy Red Wednesdays almost as much as Red Fridays, but maybe a little bit more so.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was out there bright and early this morning at a McDonald's selling those flags, and the fans are ready to go.
I'm sure they must be. What's the first Chiefs game you can recall going to?
So this is not a great answer, but it's the truth.
Okay. Sure.
It was the Christmas Day game, 1971 Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game. It was at the old Municipal Stadium,
yeah.
And I was about six or so at the time, and I remember falling asleep in the press box watching the game because that was the longest game in NFL history, right? Went double overtime, and when I woke up, the stadium was dead silent because we had just lost the game. And, you know, that was sort of the end of that era of great Chiefs football. We'd been to Super Bowl I, Super Bowl IV, and that group of players had started to get a little bit older, and unfortunately we weren't able to get back.
Had your dad already coined the term Super Bowl by that point?
He had. That was in 1966 when the AFL and the NFL were merging.
Yeah.
He was in a meeting with some of the owners. And they were talking about the last game. My dad said, you know, the last game, the final game, you know, the Super Bowl. He just threw it out there, and the other owners looked at him.
Just casually.
Yeah, just casually. Just popped into his head, you know, right at that moment. And nobody thought a lot about it, but they started referring to the game as the Super Bowl. The only problem was the commissioner, Pete Rozelle, actively disliked the name. He thought it lacked sophistication. Those were his words.
Wow.
And that's why the first couple of games were called the AFL-NFL World Championship game.
Right.
And it wasn't until Super Bowl III that the league relented and adopted Super Bowl, because everybody, fans, media, they were all calling it the Super Bowl, so the league finally went in.
So it was basically Roselle just couldn't resist it anymore because it had already been adopted, pretty much?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. You know, when my dad was asked after the fact, you know, how did you come up with that?
Right.
He said, well, yeah, I've always been a fan of college football, and I've been to tons of bowl games, particularly Cotton Bowl games. And my mother, Norma, had given me and my older siblings the new toy of the day for Christmas.
Super Bowl
in 1965. And my older siblings were bouncing them all over the house. Yeah. I was like 1 year old, so I was probably gumming mine.
Yes, right.
But my dad, you know, saw those balls bounce all over the house, and it just stuck in his head.
Yeah, I remember having super balls, you know, when I was a kid playing, and those things were just go down a drain, or they just fly down the street. You could never really keep track of them.
Yeah.
So that it maybe is what put that in the head of your dad, and it just came out like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you think of the Chiefs having a chance to be the first one to ever win three of them in a row? What do you think?
Nobody would have enjoyed the last 5 years more than my dad. He loved Chiefs football. He loved our fan base. He loved being at GEHA Field at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Those were all his favorite things, and he would have so enjoyed this run of success that we've had, and probably would just say, you know, I can't believe it. It's absolutely amazing that the Chiefs have a chance for the three-peat.
Yeah, every Chief fan that I know, Rob Riggle was sitting in that chair, and Eric Stonestreet's coming in hour three, and obviously, you know, their work is well known, but just any fan, the people who are the hardworking fans of this great heartland of our country, the diehards, the casuals, and who have just come into to fray right now, can't believe what is happening around here. And I'm wondering, does that hit you? Are you just as gobsmacked as everybody else?
I think so, a little bit. When you go 50 years between Super Bowls, that gives you an appreciation for how hard it is to even get in the game, much less win three of them in 5 years. So I think every Chiefs fan has a healthy appreciation for just how special this time period is, and we're certainly not going to take it for granted.
Right, and you were also to a Super Bowl in that five-year period as well. So it's not like you've won three, but you've been to four. And so I guess that leads to the next question. Clark Hunt here on the Rich Eisen Show. The first time you ever met Patrick Mahomes was when?
So I was at a Super Bowl in Houston. And this was the February before he came out in the draft that year.
Was this the Patriots winning the Super Bowl in overtime?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was that game.
Okay.
And I was at a party that his agent, Lee Steinberg, was throwing. And by some coincidence, I was paired up with Patrick to sit next to him at the event. I was receiving an award, and I think Lee had a little bit of a something up his sleeve. He thought Kansas City might be a really good destination for Patrick, and wanted to make sure that we had a chance to meet. And you know, enjoyed meeting him, not knowing that, you know, 3 months later he would become a Kansas City Chief.
Were you even aware that he was on anybody's radar screen in your building at that point? You'd met.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was aware that he was on the radar screen, but really the focus, you know, really turned to him as we continued to go through the draft process and build our board that year. It became clear that Patrick was our guy.
Because I remember being on the draft set at NFL Network. It was in Philadelphia. The draft was in Philadelphia, and we're obviously Andy Reid is well known. And when the Chiefs traded up, we all thought it was for Deshaun Watson. We all thought this is, and then it was Mahomes. And everybody kind of looking around going, huh, that's an interesting take right there. What did you think led to everybody say Mahomes was your guy? Like, what was that moment, do you think, for you?
Well, I think it was really the work that Brett Veach, who's now our general manager, had done on Patrick over an 18-month period. And he every week would go into Andy's office and put a tape on Andy's desk and say, hey, you got to watch what Patrick did at Texas Tech this week. It's unbelievable. And after enough weeks of that, Andy was like, yeah, I get it. And so we continue to go through the process. He had a great visit here, really impressed the coaching staff, our personnel department, and we sort of knew at that point, he was our guy. And there were three really good quarterbacks coming out that year. And so a lot of people had Deshaun, higher, but our guys really thought that Patrick was unique and that Andy was the right coach to really unlock his special talent. And I think that's played out over the last 6 or 7 years.
I can confirm that.
Yeah.
That has absolutely played out. And then the ascension of Kelsey as well. I mean, because we were just talking about it yesterday. We had Travis on our show, Clark Hunt, the chairman and CEO of the Chiefs here on the Rich Eisen Show in Kansas City. We had Travis on the show yesterday. And we were reminiscing about the first time that he was on, which was 2018. And he was, the guy who was wearing 87, which was, Gronk's number to a lot of us in the media, mm-hmm. who had a really nice game as a tight end with some high ceiling ability. A little bit of a hothead, where Andy had to kind of take him aside every now and then. And to see him develop into a Walter Payton Man of the Year, first ballot Hall of Fame, and as I called him, first gentleman of pop culture now, is a remarkable transformation. And I'm wondering, what about your position in seeing what Travis Kelce has become in your world?
Well, he and Patrick are so special together. I think they each complement the other so well, and we certainly wouldn't be the team we are without both of them. But you're right about his career. He came in and it was apparent that he had a really special talent.
Yes.
And you've got to give Andy the credit for that. And Andy knew Travis because of his older brother, because he had him in Philadelphia, and he had met Travis, and he felt strongly that Travis had an opportunity to be a really special tight end, despite not playing the position, up until I believe his sophomore year in college. He'd come in as a quarterback, and you got to give Andy credit, because Travis has been an unbelievable player, but also what a great leader, right? There's nobody in our building who works harder than Travis Kelce at age 34, and he still wants it as much as anybody on the team. And I think, when you have a leader like that, paired with another great leader in Patrick, that really sets the tone for the locker room.
How many in your family have asked you to ask him for Taylor Swift tickets?
I do get a few of those requests.
How do you handle that?
Well, the good news was that we had Taylor here at GAHA Field at Arrowhead.
Yes, sir.
Before they started dating. And yes, my family did make both shows. I was in attendance, and all I can say is what a performer. I mean, she's absolutely amazing. That first night, she went over 4 hours with 40-some-odd songs, never took a break. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And little did we know at that point, that was in July,
yes,
that 2 months later that she and Travis would be dating. And so it's been absolutely incredible. So the good news is my family got to see her.
Yes.
But before the relationship took off.
So you didn't really have to then say, hey, Travis, pull him aside and say, what do you got, or anything like that?
No, I haven't had to do that, but I have gotten a few requests as she's been on her European tour. It's like, hey, why don't we fly to Paris or, to London so that we can see Taylor? I was like, well, you saw her in Kansas City. I mean, what could be better?
What could be better? There you go. I like that. Are you aware that she's potentially drawing up plays right now?
I've heard the rumor.
Actually, Travis did say yesterday that she is, because her attention to detail that she has brought to her professional career, the goat, if you will, of that career. She is apparently bringing that attention to detail to make plays for 87, apparently, in your offense. So he said that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, when you're as talented as she is, I wouldn't put anything past her.
Yes.
And the good news is Andy's very open-minded, right? He lets the players you know, suggest plays throughout the season, and they'll work on them and put them up on the board. So I could see Andy being open to it.
So you as the chairman and CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs, you're cool with this sort of thing?
Yeah, I am. I will say that Andy's fond of saying that he has a 51% vote on what actually goes in the game plan. So I know, you know, if she draws something up for us, it's going to be great, and Andy's going to vet it.
So how much do you insert yourself into football operations and things of that nature?
I'm involved enough to know what's going on, but also fairly hands off. I believe that you hire the best people, and set the vision for them, give them the resources they need to be successful, and then turn them loose. And it's my responsibility just to know what's going on, so that I can evaluate them. And obviously, both Brett Veach and Andy Reid have done an amazing job.
So you obviously it's working. So, but your philosophy to delegate, because obviously many other of your fellow members, some of them do not have that same point of view.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there are a lot of different ways to be successful in the NFL. There's not only one model that works that can have success, but I feel that we're better leaving it to the guys who've dedicated their entire professional career to coaching or personnel, right? They're going to be better at what they do than if I get involved.
If you could change a rule in the NFL, what would it be?
Well, I think the funny answer to that, since we have such a special quarterback, is that we should put flags on the quarterback.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. Well, there is a flag football quarterback who thinks he's better than your quarterback. I don't know if you saw that. Somebody who's playing on the flag football team for potentially the USA that's coming up in the Olympics. But all that said, outside, like, do you have a rule that you're sitting there and you're at your position watching the game, you go, I'd like to change that?
Yeah. Well, I think the NFL has tackled one of the rules that needed to be changed, which is the kickoff rule. I'm excited about it. I think it's a little bit of an unknown. You know, we saw how it played out a little bit in the preseason, but I think everybody was being a little bit coy in terms of what they showed. So it's going to be interesting and I think fun for the fans to see how the new NFL rule, new kickoff rule, impacts the game. I know my dad would be a huge fan of it.
Why?
Because he was always about the fans, right?
Yeah.
And this is going to bring more excitement to the game.
You think that? You don't think that defensive-minded coaches would just say, to heck with it, let's just pound it through the end zone. I'll play 70 yards of defense. I don't want to have somebody like, say, Xavier Worthy. I'm not saying that's going to be his role. But you obviously must know what your team is cooking up, and they're it's already established, very inventive. You think that there will be returns? You don't think there's going to be a ton of defensive coaches that just want to play 70 yards of defense?
I think it'll evolve over the course of the season,
right?
And I think certainly in game you're going to see some of that, based on the situation in the game. If you're up a couple of touchdowns, probably makes sense to give the team a touchback and let them start on the 30 and not risk the big return. But I think some of the special teams coordinators, including Dave Tove here in Kansas City, they're going to be interested in trying to pin teams. So I think we're going to see more returns.
You do think so?
I think there'll be more returns, and if there's not, there'll be some adjustments to the rule in the offseason.
But not during the season?
Not during the season.
You're not into that idea of changing anything during the season?
No, that's not competitively fair.
Okay. Yeah. How about I'll give you an idea? I'm going to go there. It's got one of the 32 members right here in the National Football League. I cannot stand the rule where if the ball is fumbled into and through the end zone.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going there. Excuse me. These guys have heard it.
You've been taking this L for
years. Don't listen to them,
Cliff.
that the ball's fumbled into and through the end zone, that possession goes to the other team, that you lose possession. However, if the ball comes out and it goes out at the one-inch line, you get to keep it. It just seems to me completely not equitable, and it happened against Kansas City against the Bills in the playoffs.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So
right.
what do you think about changing that rule?
I think it's something that should be evaluated, and it's been talked about. If you look at the way rules get changed in the NFL, there usually is a big play, right?
Yes.
Sometimes in a playoff game, that really upsets a lot of fans, and that'll get the league to look at it.
Well, the overtime game as well, you know, Chiefs Bills, a lot of Chiefs Bills stuff has happened. That led to overtime rules being changed as well.
Yeah, it's exactly. And right. A few years before that, you know, we had the game with New England, also similar overtime.
That's right.
You know, situation. But again, it took several years, right?
Why is that?
I think it's because the league is very methodical in how it goes about things, and Roger does a great job of building consensus. Right. And so studying something and talking about it across a few years usually can lead to change.
Is it, if there's something out there that you feel particularly strident about, will you buttonhole fellow members, like take somebody aside and say, how about voting the way I want to vote? Like, do those things actually happen?
Yeah, that does happen. There's conversations, you know, before we're in the meeting and voting on things,
right.
where owners will lobby others for their position, and you know, certainly I've done that before as well.
Okay, so what do you think of my idea? That we, how about this, where the ball would be sort of like a reverse touchback, where if you lose the ball through the end zone, you know, the ball goes to the 20-yard line and you try again. It's like and goal from there or something
and
like
goal.
That.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion, and would still be a penalty. Right? Pretty significant.
Correct.
Penalty.
It's significant.
Yeah.
But you don't lose possession. Right? I mean, like, just say Mahomes is driving down the field, the defense is on its heels.
Yeah.
Boom. Paul just pops loose, and instead of rolling out at the 1-inch line, it rolls 3 inches around the other side of the pylon. The defense is bailed out.
It's an oblong ball. It takes weird bounces. Mr. Hunt, all due respect, got a great idea. Don't fumble.
Yeah.
Hold on to the football.
Yeah.
Don't stretch your arm out for the goal line.
I think there should be a new rule for you not to listen to him. That's a new rule. But that's the pushback that's constantly being heard. I also want a seat on the competition committee as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can help me with that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send Roger a note. Yeah.
He really misses. He really like, does. Uh-huh. That's something yeah. that oh, he I mean, really
the
wants.
Fans should be represented on the competition committee. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
I can't disagree with that.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
that I'll take that as a yes. what are you going to be thinking about kickoff Thursday night? I've been asking a bunch of the players this question. So it's kickoff. you're in your home stadium. You're seeing everything's that you're set up for another season. Everything is rolling here. Into 2024, what goes through your mind as you're sitting in your position for that game?
Yeah, it's an interesting game because it's sort of the last moment that you celebrate what happened the year before.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll drop a new banner that adds Super Bowl 58 to it before the game. Fortunately, our players and coaches will be inside when that happens. When we get to the kickoff, I'm going to be thinking about the game and how important that game is, and what a big game, right? Chiefs against the Ravens, rematch of the AFC championship game.
Yes.
Could have playoff implications way down the line. And I'm going to be hoping and praying that everybody's focused on the task at hand that night and not thinking about down the road. There are a lot of distractions that come with being back-to-back Super Bowl champions. A lot of discussion about going for the three-peat.
Yes.
And the key to being successful is putting that all out of our mind and thinking each week about the team we're playing and being our best that day. And if we're not our best, we're not going to beat the Ravens.
Well, Travis did say that when he was on the show yesterday that he hasn't had a single conversation with a teammate about three-peat. Not one. That he said the same thing that you just said, which I think is something Andy Reid is absolutely going to execute that plan, right? But that said, this is Sports Talk Radio. Do you think three in a row for your franchise would allow you or anybody else to say this is the greatest dynasty in the history of the National Football League?
I think that's a hard thing to say because across decades, I think it's hard to compare teams, right? Things have changed in the NFL. I think in some ways it's much harder to have a dynasty today because the rules are really geared towards making sure that there's change at the top. Certainly, the Patriots have had an amazing run, for most of the 2000s. And you can go back in time and look at the Steelers and the 49ers and the Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. And I think, each of those organizations during a certain time period in the National Football League, were absolutely the best, and you could make an argument for them. So I don't think it's fair to compare across decades because the league changes so much.
But you'd be the only one with three in a row in an era with the salary cap and free agency and things of that nature that others in the dynasty eras have not had, right? Yeah. I know you're not a chest-thumping guy, but, I mean, it just seems like it would be a differentiator in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly the opportunity we have is not lost on anybody in the organization. But I do think one of the keys is not talking about it too much.
Okay, there it is. Thanks for the time, Clark Hunt. And I really appreciate you being here on our first day of our residency for kickoff week here in your town. And yeah. I appreciate the Chiefs Kingdom flag. We will bring it back to our studio, and we will display it.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Great being on with you.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. And everybody, back off. He is not Taylor Swift ticket broker Clark Hunt. He is the chairman and CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs. Two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Thanks for coming on here today. Yep. That's Clark Hunt here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are back in Kansas City in a moment. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I got power rankings and more. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about game time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is what I love about fandom, football fandom. You're a sweet person. You are known generally as just a sweet,
exactly,
nice person who likes meeting people and just likes human life.
Yes.
You love making people's lives better through either your music or your words or your essence.
Absolutely.
I understand it. But when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, to hell with everybody else.
Exactly. That's the
way
it
is. Did I say it right?
That works.
By the way, I don't mean to tell you, like, you know, an all-time great lyricist how to speak or or communicate. But
no, but I'm the one that I will wear the, I have a Kansas City Chiefs guitar strap, and when I play Oakland or Denver or Boston, I will wear, I will come out, and I will start, believe me, there's not, my audience will love, especially in New England, my audience will love me, they're cheering, and I'll go, and I'll see you in the playoffs, and then it's all of a sudden booze, it's horrible, it's just, it will ruin a show. My wife says, don't talk football, I can't help it.
But you gotta do it,
I mean, you got the passion for it.
Yes. So who was your chief growing up? Who was the person that you're like, okay, this is making me fall in love with football?
Oh, well, it was my father.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it was Lenny Dawson and Hank Stram in the 1969-1970
right.
Chiefs. I watched the Super Bowl. I saw my hometown and everyone go crazy, and it just of course, that was the last time we were in the Super Bowl. But, you know, since then, every year, you're like, we could do that again. But it never goes away. That never goes away.
I know. You know, the draft is coming in a couple of years, too, to Kansas City. I don't know if you're
aware
of that.
I'm really excited. I was so excited because it's such a, Kansas City's a beautiful city. That whole area is they love their Chiefs. They are Chiefs. They,
yes.
They are, it's a beautiful city that's grown and has so much to offer, and I love that they've got that and people can actually see them.
Great stuff on our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk here in KC, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Here on the program, we just said farewell to Clark Hunt and the great Eric Stone Street making his way to our studio for an hour number three appearance. I tried my best. I don't think I'm going to make the competition committee through him, nor do I think he agrees with me with the fumble through the end zone.
It didn't
thing.
Seem that way on either account. Apologies.
I don't know about competition committee. That might, I want to show his hand.
He did agree, though, that the fans need a voice on the competition
committee. Well, he did talk about how he thinks the kickoff rule changes for the fans. So I can be for the fans on the I'm hopeful that what he believes will work with the kickoff rule.
I hope
is
it happens.
Going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with
I would prefer too many scores to too many touchbacks. I would prefer that.
You watched college football last weekend just like we all did. Was it kind of refreshing to see real kickoffs?
No, I understand what you're saying in that regard. And
I kind of liked it.
And then when I don't know if enough people watched preseason football to be fully aware of what's coming on Thursday night.
You might be right about that.
That I think Thursday night might be a shocker to a bunch of people. Yeah. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, they should have been watching preseason.
That people might have been. No, dude, you know, you understand. I'm an NFL Network guy, so obviously the number of people that watch preseason games is good for NFL Network.
And it's gone up every year.
It has. Yeah. And so, but those are some diehards.
Yeah.
But for people who might have been traveling, people who might have been looking at the Olympics, people who are just doing other things in the summer, might not be aware of what's coming. And so it's going to need to be explained. People are going to have to understand what's up with it. I do believe after a month of watching this type of kickoff in the NFL, it's entirely possible we will be watching college football as a sort of nostalgic yearning for those days in the NFL. That said, though, to have grown-ass men in their 30s, 20s, hugely successful and also athletic individuals running towards each other like it's Braveheart, and getting and colliding with one another, the NFL is just saying that ain't it anymore. And so how do you come up with something that will be exciting? And we didn't see it in the preseason. And as a matter of fact, all we've heard were a bunch of coaches saying, I'm just going to kick it through the end zone. I mean, the number of coaches we've had talking about it on this show, we've been asking them, what do you think? And a lot of them believe that the 30-yard line for a touchback is not punitive enough
and that it should be 35, if not a 40-yard line. Then you're going to see returns, okay? That said, Clark Hunt sounded like a man who's seen what Andy Reid and his staff is cooking up and has not shown.
Yeah, I think we all realize that. Like, they're not going to show their hands.
Correct.
In the
and so, so I hope he's right. I hope he's right. And he's like, and if it doesn't get the results that we're looking for, we'll fix it in the off season.
Right.
And that might be a long 22 weeks to go through the ton of touchbacks.
Yeah. If you want to guarantee no touchback, make it a penalty to kick it into the end zone.
Well, the end zone is a very special place, Chris. This is what I heard, that you can't fumble through it and keep possession.
Yeah, so make it a penalty to kick the ball into the end zone on the kickoff.
I think that'll still be too punitive. I don't know, man.
So what if the other team decides to let the ball roll into the
end? I hope he's right. I hope he's right that this is going to be. I would rather see more scores on a kickoff than more touchbacks than we've ever seen before.
Yeah, I'm still a little skeptical. It's going to take a while.
Well, look, in the Chiefs in particular, you've got a guy running a 4.240, right? And you've got Andy Reid. So I'm assuming they're going to cook up something really special for Xavier Worthy.
I think if that's who it's going to be, we don't even know who a lot of these guys are going to be, and they've been keeping it under wraps.
Yeah, because you're not going to show that.
The only thing is that I heard the phrase that they're having is for the two returners. Mm. I've heard some people in the NFL with the unfortunate phrase of calling them floaters, and I would push back on that.
Yeah.
Can we switch that to like Rover?
That's all I'm saying. I've heard that.
Anything.
And again, if that phrase is said, please.
I'm thinking Joey Chestnut.
Be an adult.
I'm thinking Joey Chestnut.
Going back to Riggle.
That's all I ask. Is just please be an adult about it.
I'll be an adult after this. Can we name a team Joey Chestnut's floaters? No.
All right, you know what? It's a Wednesday of the National Football League season. I'm counting this as a week in the NFL, guys. The lead up to week one.
Is this week zero?
Week zero, yeah.
It's week one. It's week one. So I understand my week one power rankings are what next week's would be called, right? Because you're based off of 1 week.
Yeah, remember we had this.
I forget which way. Do week one. This is week one.
No,
next week
it's
is
being
week
called
two.
The preseason power rankings.
Preseason. Yeah. Okay.
So this is it.
Okay.
The pre-kickoff preseason power rankings.
Play it on me.
Baby.
Presented by Total Wireless. Hit it, please.
This is my
power rankings. That's correct. Here we go. I've got my top 10 teams entering the National Football League season, presented by Total Wireless. And it's completely different from my way too soon power rankings of June.
Oh, really?
Because those were way too soon.
They're way too soon.
You know?
They're way too soon.
Changed.
You know what's changed? My thought process. And again, I don't know if you just heard the drop. These are my power rankings.
All right.
All right, here we go. Number 10 on this list. They weren't on my list in June, but they are now. And it's really amazing how this team, I was leading the charge of saying, what were they thinking? What were they thinking in the draft by choosing Michael Penix when they had just signed Kirk Cousins? Because they could have had one of the best defenders in the draft. They had the top pick of any defender in the draft, and they went ahead and they handled their business for the future and then signed Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. So the Falcons are 10 on this list, guys.
I like it.
The Falcons should be really good. They should be top third of the NFL season good. And again, like I was like, they should have Dallas Turner. They could have taken any defensive back, and anybody that they took, with all due respect to them, with their high ceiling that they could have had, they were Matthew Judon or Justin Simmons. So they rectified what I thought was a missed opportunity with some grown-ass men adding to them to a defense that's already got Jesse Bates and Raheem Morris as the coach. This team should be better with Kirk Cousins being healthy. Number 9 on this list is a team that I do believe I'm about to hear from my right is way too soon to have on this list.
Oh, geez.
But I'm putting the Cowboys here. I'm putting the Cowboys at 9. I still believe they are too thin in this roster. I do believe that they are too thin. They got a left tackle that's a rookie because their best left tackle is protecting Aaron Rodgers for the Jets.
That is true.
To me, I am genuinely concerned about this team's depth. That's all I'm saying. I might be wrong. We might be proven otherwise. You could say, where was Deron Bland? Was he depth? Well, he was also now the depth that's a starter that's gone.
He's gone
for the moment, for 2 months. I still believe they're talented enough to be a top third team in the NFL, but the Cowboys are 9.
I'll accept that.
This is where I had the Jets, and I've removed them from my list.
Oh, you moved them higher?
No. Oh. I just
they're
took
off?
A, they're off.
Really?
They're off because I'm putting the Miami Dolphins here. I think the Dolphins are winning the division. I'm a believer. I just had to sit here and
I'm
think about
you,
it. I the Jets might be on the outside of the periphery of this thing, but
I got to say, Rich, you're one of the few media people who doesn't have the Jets in the Final Four.
I just need to see it. I just need to see what it looks like, because I didn't see it at all last year.
You're a snake-bitten, broken man.
What can I tell you? But if I think the Dolphins are going to win the division, how am I not putting them on my power rankings?
Well,
to start
you could have the Jets 10.
I'm putting the Miami Dolphins 8.
I'm with it.
Number 7 on this list is a team that I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think this team's going to go very far by the end of the season. But for the moment, to start the season, I need to see when Ja'Marr Chase is coming back, and I need to see just how good they are. He did practice today. Maybe that's a good sign. But the Bengals are 7 on this list. I think Joe Burrow could be MVP of the season this year. And I think this team is going to be back, and I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, and I think he's, you know, he's walking in Paris with a hole in his suit on the back. You know, he looks like Eminem, and he's bringing a game that's, you know, like 8 Mile. You know what I mean? Number 6 on this team, on this list, are the Houston Texans. I think they are for real. I think they got better, and I think that they are going to be a team that could actually make some folks in this town by the end of the year a little bit upset.
Ooh.
They might be the team, along with the Bengals, that could be any. If there's any AFC teams that can stand in the way of the Chiefs by the end of the year, I think it's the Texans. Even though I'm putting the Ravens above them right now, I still think I have to pay enough homage to what the Ravens did last year to put them in my top 5 right now.
Yes.
They have a 2-time MVP and the reigning MVP of the league. I got to pay them respect of putting them in the top 5. Even though, you know, later on my AFC North prediction before we finish this show might surprise you a little bit. I'm putting the Ravens here at 5, and I'm putting the Eagles at 4. Guys,
I'm with you.
I said one of my top storylines entering this season is not only how good Saquon Barkley can be, but can he supplant Christian McCaffrey as the best all-around back in the league? Because the way that he's been added to the Eagles, I'm wondering if Saquon can turbocharge the Eagles in the same way that Christian McCaffrey turbocharged the San Francisco 49ers. That's how good they can be. I think they're secondary, despite having Bradbury hurt right now. I think the kids that they drafted, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, I think they can really significantly add to this team. And I put the Eagles 4 here, and I do hope that their coordinators fixed, or changing coordinators fixed their problems. Mm-hmm. I'm putting the Niners here at 3, and the reason why I'm doing that
is because last night on NFL Network, I predicted the Chiefs would beat the Lions in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I'm putting the Lions 2.
Makes sense.
They did have the Niners where they wanted them last year, and some questionable decisions in the second half changed some fates. And number 1, I am paying respect to our hosts for the week and the 2-time defending champs, who I believe will be 3-peat champs. The Kansas City Chiefs enter my season, our season, top-ranked team as the top-ranked team in my power rankings. And so there you have it. Those are my top 10 preseason power rankings, or, if you will, kickoff power rankings presented by Total Wireless. Get unlimited data that never slows you down for less than $30 a month. That's the new Total Wireless. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Back in Kansas City with Eric Stone Street, coming with either himself, a friend, or me. And we think it's the last one.
Let's go.
That's coming up in hour 3.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Back here on the Roku Sports Channel live feed here in Kansas City. What are you guys laughing about over there? What's happening? Nothing that you can talk about, right?
Yeah, we'll pass.
Nothing that we can talk about.
Did you say you're going to the tailgate tomorrow?
Well, I got to say, the way Rob sold it, it does make me want to go to the tailgate tomorrow. So look for us there. Me, well, TJ, anyone else in the crew wants to go.
Well, I mean, did you ask him for a hookup?
No, I didn't want to do that. Didn't want to impose and maybe take advantage of our friendship and longstanding relationship. Didn't want to do that to Rob.
I would have done it, but I don't really know him like that.
I'm more than happy to spend whatever money.
I'd be more than happy to get him for free.
I'm not saying it's a money thing.
I know. I don't know what type of sway Rob has.
What are you talking about?
It's Rob Riggle.
He might have the keys to an 18-wheeler with two monster barrels of Crown Royal on the back.
You know how much I love Crown Royal, man.
He didn't strike me as one of those guys that'd be just like, how dare you, try and leverage anything with me. Like, he seems like a really nice guy.
I also hate to ask for stuff like that.
Well, I was going to ask Mr. Hunt if we could get some tickets to the game, but I decided against it.
Well, now you just wanted an actual entree to
see,
that.
Don't say what you're about to say.
No, an actual entree to that three-story apartment that he apparently has inside Arrowhead that's attached to his owner's suite.
But I could tell you didn't want me to ask him about it.
So. No, you want to go there like it's an Airbnb or something.
If I could stay the night, why not?
Why not? Now, that would be a heck of a charity auction item.
How about that? Yeah, that's right. Think about that.
Good plan.
I just didn't. I didn't feel comfortable bringing up with
him. Stay Saturday night. Wake up. Game
on. Go for the weekend. What are you gonna do on Sunday?
I don't understand. Like, why you're being shy around Rob Riggle?
I don't like to ask people for stuff.
That's untrue. I've seen you ask people things.
Sorry, I'm trying.
I personally.
That's
don't
absurd.
Only you, Rich.
I don't know who you are anymore. I have no idea who you are anymore. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show here in Kansas City. Game time tickets. Make sure that you have this app on a mobile device near you and start buying tickets. Brockman may use it for tomorrow night.
No doubt.
Unfortunately for you, though, I'm sure you've already used our promo code of Rich for $20 off your first purchase.
Who hasn't used the promo code?
Oh, that's true. TJ still hasn't used it.
How have you not used the promo code yet?
Well, I haven't bought any more tickets since.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
He's been getting hooked up.
All right. Very good.
Del Tufo hooked me up.
Well, let me hook you up, man. Let me hook everybody up, because buying tickets with Game Time is so simple. You get to see your view from your seat. You get to see how much your entire ticket costs. So there's no surprise fees thrown on you at checkout. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier, because it filters out the fluff, shows you only incredible deals on the great seats you're looking for, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. It's awesome. Take the guesswork out of buying any tickets in anything in your area with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. All right, so is Corbin in Texas still on the phone line? Is Corbin still on there? Are you there, Corbin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hey, good to chat with you. Where in Texas are you calling in from?
I'm actually right outside of Austin, Georgetown, Texas. I called last year and played the Ravens win-loss and nailed it. So let's try again.
What do you mean you nailed it? What do you mean by that?
Corbin.
What'd you do, Corbin? I
said they'd go 13-4, and they went 13-4.
Okay, whoa, so yes. Here we go.
Corbin.
Corbin getting it in just under the wire, because as of
tomorrow, there's no more. Two teams are removed from our win-loss game off the board.
We could do it on Friday.
No. What we can only do it for 30 NFL teams.
Right.
All right, so Corbin in Texas, let's give him the music.
All right.
Put the schedule up on the screen. All right, what happens on Thursday night here, Corbin?
They're gonna lose.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. So that's not a great start.
Yeah.
Then home for Las Vegas. What happens?
Win.
Then you've got a visit to Dallas.
Win.
Home for Buffalo.
Win.
You're on a roll at Cincinnati. 3-1.
Loss.
3-2. Home for Washington.
Win.
4-2 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a Monday night.
Win.
All right. That's now 5-2 at the Cleveland Browns.
Loss.
Home for the Denver Broncos.
Win.
6-3 home for Cincinnati on a Thursday night.
Win.
7-3 at the Steelers.
Win.
8-3 at the Chargers. Harbaugh, who wins it on a Monday night?
John, the win.
9-3, home for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Love.
10-4 off the bye at the Giants.
Win.
Okay. Then home for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Win.
All right, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-4 at the Houston Texans on Christmas.
Loss.
12-5 home for the Browns.
That's a win, and I also have a would you rather for you, Rich.
Okay, what do you got? 12-5, he's got the Ravens.
12-5, yes, sir. Okay, Rich. I know you're a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of yours and your guys.
Thanks,
Would
Corbin.
You rather watch the Jets win the Super Bowl from your couch with the family or the Yankees win the World Series Game 7 at home? You're at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's an easy one. That's easy.
At stadium?
No, Jets at home.
No way. Yankee Stadium in Game 7? I've never been to a Game 7 as a fan with
Hold on a second. You would rather the Yankees win than the Jets? That's what this question is.
I mean, dude.
He's a bigger Yankee fan.
First of all, I would never be home watching the Super Bowl right now. Exactly. That's just not a feasibility. Exactly. So,
but that wasn't the question. You get to watch a Super Bowl.
Or I get
the
to be in Yankee Stadium.
Nobody in Rich's family is a Jets fan.
That's the thing. Yeah. So it's not like your kids are going to be celebrating with.
No. Yeah. No, my 13-year-old son, with whom I'd be celebrating in Yankee Stadium, would be rooting against me.
Right.
Like almost actively. Yes. I imagine.
Yes.
That is true.
So, great question, Corbin. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, right there. Why does that surprise you? Why wouldn't I want to be in Yankee Stadium to watch a World
You've
Series?
You've never seen a Jets win a championship.
Yeah, that's
You've
why
seen the Yankees win a bunch.
Because we don't even know that the Jets really won it.
And you've been to a World Series games before.
Let me just say this, okay? Again, there are two teams that affect my emotions, like legitimately.
Yeah, Michigan and the Yankees.
That's it. I mean, I'm obviously growing up a Jet fan, and my brother is insane. Like, I think he's cutting short a vacation so he can get home in time to watch the Jets. You know what I mean? Like, that's the sort of stuff he does. He's nuts.
That's the stuff that makes the NFL.
He's nuts.
I get it.
I mean, and I know a bunch of Jet fans who are totally nuts.
Yeah.
But when, you know, I don't know, maybe it's 55 years of it being beaten out of me. I have no idea. But, you know, if the Jets look like that, when Aaron Rodgers blew out his Achilles, that affected me. Because I'm like, I cannot believe.
Yeah, you're way more excited last year than you are this year.
Well, after all of that excitement, to get it just cut down like that is particularly unkind.
Yeah. Was there a part of you that was like,
last night when Clay Holmes, or as Cooper and I, we don't even say his name in the house. We refer to him as Shmay Shmoes.
Shmay Shmoes.
He texted me, Shmay Shmoes blew it again, Dad.
Shmay Shmoes.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, I know. A grand slam. He's blown 11 saves. Like, that's the sort of stuff. Like, legitimately, I was like, damn it. And then Michigan football's the end all be all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I got to go over this pecking order with you one more time.
You don't.
Okay.
I'm just saying, maybe you'd like to see the Jets, you know, do something nice.
Is there a smell of barbecue in the air? Because Eric Stone Street is here.
I see him.
I don't know. He is here. So hour three is going to be, as the kids say, lit. So Stone Street is here for hour number three. He's brought a special surprise. We're taking a break here for our radio audience. We will return to the Roku channel, the Roku Sports Channel, and our television audience for hour number three, our AFC North preview, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Eric Stone Street's coming up.
Speaking of the AFC North, Rich, I'm seeing video right now of Ja'Marr Chase in uniform walking on to the Bengals practice
field. That's great. I mean, is he going to get signed or not?
I'd say soon, if he's there.
I'd say he's out there.
But, I mean,
Schefter said that needed to happen in the next 48 hours for him to play week one, and he said that yesterday.
Well, he's out there practicing, which means
that's a sign.
Where they're dual tracking it.
That's a good sign.
Well, but if he's not, he's out there getting ready just in case the contract hits.
Well, the video,
and you know the way these things work. You know how these things work too. It's just like, well, you got to be here for us to. You got to show that you want to be here for us to sign you. I mean, it's sort of crazy ass dance that happens all the time. That would be nuts if they don't get this thing done.
Tell you, if he sits out. I
just want him to sit out past tomorrow, because tomorrow is my draft in my poker league.
Oh, and you want him to
and
drop?
And I'm seventh overall.
Ooh, you think he might get to you at seven?
There's no question he would.
Yeah.
And I'd have a choice between him and Justin Jefferson on that spot.
I would take Ja'Marr Chase.
Holding out Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson. Rich, that's how much you don't like Sam Darnold.
Rich loves Sam Darnold.
It has nothing to do with liking Sam Darnold or not.
Justin Jefferson had a 1,000-yard season last year, and he missed that much time, and Josh Dobbs was throwing to him at half the time.
Literally a giant unknown, that Sam Darnold. I know how good Joe Burrow is. I know how good they are together.
I mean, he's got a point
there. Hour number three coming up here live in Kansas City for our kickoff week.
Let's go.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan into a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.